How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I am the tail fin road locomotive. You can polish my chrome so clean. We can fly off into the sunset together. Rusty old American dream, still running. Rusty old American dream.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to the help you get from ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We'll keep it running, help you keep it running. Good morning to you, Dan Burns.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I hope you are as well. Hope you guys at Lloyd's had a good week, a busy week, probably as usual.
It was very busy. Yep, we're getting into the fall and winter season. People are starting to think about winter, so here we go.
Yeah, looking to hearing Laura's dropping that temperature. Well, she's not, but the temperature tomorrow night to 16 or so. Here we go. And we can talk about some winter care driving tips and things like that, cold weather car care. But you know what's been in the news a lot lately? And in magazines that I'm reading and in the news all over the place are electric vehicles. How are you guys with, you know, you and your certified technicians dealing with this, and what do you see down the road, pardon the expression?
Well, you know, Danny, it's just like every other change that we've gone through history, that, you know, we carburetors switched over to fuel injection and, you know, all of the technology and cars became computer controlled, and we had to learn about all that. And the EV market is going to be no different. It's going to be just the same. We're already working on electric vehicles, and you know, an awful lot of the electric vehicles are the same as an internal combustion engine, in that they still have suspension, they still have brakes, and all of that stuff is, you know, still pretty much the same. So there's an awful lot of it that isn't going to change. And we'll have to do a little bit of learning about the electric motors and that. But I'm not foreseeing that it's going to be any problem from a maintenance standpoint. And in fact, Denny, it seems to be catching on. And it's time for me to kind of change my tone, because, you know, we've talked about this a lot in the past. And I was not so bullish on it. I wasn't so sure that this market was going to take off. But I think it's time to change my thinking on that, because I think it will take off now. Pretty much every manufacturer is getting into it. And like you say, you're hearing it all over the place that there's all, you know, there's investments in it and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's here to stay.
And as I, in reading some of my magazines and other news stories about these electric vehicles, the horsepower they get out of these things, and I know they're working on distance, like so many vehicles now go three. I read recently another one that's up to like 405 miles on a charge. And that, I'm sure, will be improving as we go along. But the horsepower, how do they get these things to, you know, they're like 1,000 horsepower, some of them, some of these trucks. Yeah.
You know, and what makes them so cool is they, like on an internal combustion engine, it kind of has to rev up to get going. With electric motors, it's just an on switch, and they go.
there's no gears going through a lot of gears.
Yeah, no, they're powerful and incredible, and so and in fact, you know, over the past several years, many of the high end performance cars have switched from turbocharged to electric power, you know, to complement their internal combustion engine. So, in other words, they use the electric motors to get it going, and then add power to the internal combustion engine with the electric motors too. So, yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you and I have mentioned this in the past too, and maybe in our lifetimes, there's still going to be internal combustion engines around for a while, right?
Well, it's still pretty much all that's, I mean, you know, from a percentage basis, it's still pretty much all that's being sold. And so, and those vehicles that are being sold today are going to have a long life ahead of them. So it's certainly not going to affect my career, the electric vehicles. It's not going to affect my career significantly. Although, Denny, you know, I think I told you a couple weeks ago, we did do a brake job on a Tesla here recently, and we've done some repairs on suspension and things like that. So there's getting to be enough of them around that the aftermarket is starting to see them. And the aftermarket, the good news is when we did do that brake job on that Tesla, the parts were readily available. You know, we called our normal supplier and they had them in stock and brought them right over. So it was no different than any other car.
And isn't it true? By the way, if you have any kind of a car care question to have Dan help you out with an answer here before you bring in your vehicle for service, let me give you the phone number, and it's also the text number, 651-461 for service. Let me give you the phone number, and it's also the text number, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, if you have any kind of a car care question, doesn't have to be about electric cars, but keep in mind that Dan will be with us for just about another 30 minutes. So if you have a question, don't wait. Call it in or text it in again, 651-461-9226. Tell you what, Dan, let's take a quick break right now. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation, and we'll pick up then here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. 34 is our Twin City temperature. We might hit 40 later today here in the Twin Cities. We're in the midst of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where in Grand there, Dan?
Well, Denny, as you know, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
Excellent. We'll give you that number before Dan leaves us. And by the way, if you have any kind of a car care question, a lot of folks you know, planning on doing a little driving for this Thanksgiving holiday, don't wait. Dan is going to be with us till Jack Farrell time, which is close to 7:45. So you don't have to be a gearhead, a motorhead. You can ask any kind of a car care question you'd like. 651-461-9226 is the text number. It's also the phone number. Speaking of text, here's one that came in a bit ago. I have a texter says a 2010 Silverado. Someone stole a set of my keys and fob. So what are you supposed to do now? I have one key and fob. Do I have locks changed to a different key or change out the door lock, tailgate lock, new key fobs, new ignition switch? Do I need to go to the dealership or automotive locksmith? What do you think? Wow.
Well, you know, the key part of it is the actual mechanical key part of it. You'll have to decide how far you want to go with that because, as you know, that's going to get kind of expensive to deal with all of that. The rest of it, the key fob part and the part of the key that actually allows the car to start, you can take that in and have that reprogrammed to a different key. So, in other words, the old key would, while it would get in the car, in the doors and in the tailgate and all that, it would not start the car, so they couldn't, or the start the vehicle, so they could not steal it. But I understand that that's concerning, that the actual mechanical part of the key is in someone else's hands, and you'll have to decide how important that is to you if you want to spend the money to change the door locks and all that. But and quite honestly, that would be your only option, would be to take the doors apart and put new key cylinders in to make that key that's now out there in the hands of someone else so that it won't function. But as far as making that key not function to start the car, that's pretty easy to have that reprogrammed. May have a different fob made, and then have all your remaining keys reprogrammed to that, and then you'll be in business so that they at least can't steal the car.
Wow. Thanks for that text. What a situation. Again, here's the phone number and the text number, 651-461-9226. Let's go to the phones. Jerry is calling in from New Hope this morning. Jerry, you're on with Dan Burns. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Yeah, I was kind of wondering about these electric cars. To me, they have the technology to be able to charge the car as it's driving in some way, shape, or form, like an alternator and a battery. How come they don't? I was thinking about a long trip with it. You got to stop every 405 miles to charge it. You know, how come they don't have something to charge the car as it's driving?
Well, you know, the vehicles are regenerative, which is what you're talking about. While you're driving along, it does create power to go back into the batteries, but it's just a law of physics that the energy can't be negative like that. In other words, it can't produce more energy than it's using. And physics doesn't work that way, and so the car won't work that way. It's remarkable that it can go 400 miles on a charge, but, you know, today there just isn't a solution to that. The what you're describing is a hybrid car, which is a combination of gas over electric, and that's a good option for somebody that wants to kind of get into the electric market, would be to get a hybrid car, which gets you much better gas mileage, is way more energy efficient, but when you're out on the highway, you don't have to stop and plug it in. It will, switch over, or not switch over, but run on both gas and electric.
Yeah, I was noticing that my son Tony, whom you know, has a hybrid, and when he picked me up to go on a trip, and I'm looking at the screen, and yeah, in certain circumstances, like when he brakes, it does regenerate, it does bring back some of that power. But you're right, it's the hybrid that we're talking that, you know, in that case, that regenerates. But every day that goes by, they're going to think of something else and extend that that charge capability. So stay tuned, as they say.
Yeah, I've actually heard, Denny, I think it was Ford is coming out with a pickup that will have 600 miles on their charge. So they're already getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. This texter, Dan, says, how does the system work that tells one to, quote, change oil soon work? How does it work? Is it detecting dirty oil?
You know, some of the more sophisticated ones are actually keeping track of your driving habits, which is what makes oil dirty. If you're doing all highway driving, it'll calculate that in and extend the oil change interval. If you're doing all in-town driving, it will shorten that interval. And many of them also take into account the amount of time that's gone by, and so it does a calculation based on all of that, the time, the mileage, your driving habits, and so forth. Some of them are as simple as, you know, it turns the light on every 5,000 miles no matter what, or every 10,000 miles on some vehicles, and it just does it only on the mileage interval, which I don't think is a very good idea, but that's just the way the manufacturer has designed some of them. But depending upon what kind of car you're driving and how sophisticated the maintenance light is, there's a whole bunch of different factors that it could take into account.
Listener says this on the text line, great show. I have a 2015 GMC Acadia. Have heard rubbing or slipping of rear wheel for a few months when turning sharp turns or backing into parking. Goes on to say that I read online that I could pull the all-wheel drive fuse and try that. It cured the symptoms. Any ideas? I'm going back to the dealer soon.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why disabling the four-wheel drive would cause that to happen. So, in other words, when you disabled the all-wheel drive, something stopped turning, and that's causing the noise to stop. And without doing some research and seeing how that system works exactly, I couldn't tell you what you disabled that made that noise go away. The good news for you is it's going to save you money on your diagnostics. Be sure that when you bring it in to the dealer that you share that information with them, because you know, that'll probably tell them a story that they're exactly familiar with. They've seen that before, and they'll know what's going on and be able to tell you what that's all about.
Very good. Hang on, Dan. We're going to take a break for CCO weather, so stay tuned. If you have any kind of a car care question, call it in or text it in at 651-461-9226. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns. CCO's Car Care Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday a little after 7 o'clock. Waiting for your car care questions for ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we have texters I want to not forget about as well. Let's grab this one. 2018 Silverado, 35,000 miles on it. A driver's side front tire is low pressure indicator on dash indicates 24 PSI. Actual pressure is 36 PSI. How do I recalibrate?
You know, I bet you do not have to recalibrate. I bet you're checking the wrong tire. On that particular model, you have to program the location of the tire to the car. And if that's programmed incorrectly, then it doesn't know where the tire is. So you know, I think if you check the other three tires, you might find the tire that has 24 PSI somewhere else. And fill that up, and then you'll have to actually. Well, actually, if you look up on if you look up on the internet, you'll be able to find. If you want to try this, you'll be able to find a way to get into that test mode and reprogram those tires. Or if you bring it back to your shop, they'll be whoever rotated your tires. If you bring it back to your shop, they'll be happy to do it for you.
And like we've learned in the past, check the spare as well if there is one, right?
Right, that's correct.
It's 2011 Ford Edge, Dan. Texter says, I've been told I have an axle seal leak on the passenger side of my car. He said it's greasy. Is that an urgent thing to have fixed?
Well, probably not urgent. It's it would be very difficult for the way that that is designed for all of the fluid to leak out of there, but know that while you're driving, the fluid is low, and that's probably not good for things. But in the short term, it's just fine, but messy.
Okay. Here is a 2019 Hyundai Tucson whose USB port quit working. Question is that an easy fix?
Well, it depends how accessible it is. If it's in the probably in the center console somewhere, if it's accessible and easy to get to, then the actual USB port to buy from Hyundai will depend how that comes too. If you have to buy a whole piece of the dash to get that, or if it can be serviced separately. Hopefully it can be serviced separately, because then it'll be a lot cheaper, and also the access will be a lot easier. So you'd have to do a little bit of research to see how you buy it, and then make a decision from there.
Okay. Here is a question about storing. I am storing a 1960 Corvette. Love those older ones. For the winter. Any advice? That is the mouse protection, battery care. It has an electric clock, they say, that actually works. Should it be periodically started? Gas tank is full with seafoam added and run through. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're off to a good start. A lot of people will say overinflate the tires a little bit. That's good for the tires so that they don't go down and get flat on the bottom. You've done the oil, make sure the fluids are all okay. And then the last thing is either remove the battery and bring it in some place where it will not freeze, a well-ventilated area where it will not freeze, or keep a battery tender on it so that the battery doesn't go dead, because if the battery goes dead and freezes, it wrecks the battery. So keep the battery charged up, and you've done what you should with the fluids. I think you'll be good to go.
And what I know you've given advice before about keeping mice out of the car. A lot of people put dryer sheets or use mouse magic. What is the first thing you should make sure in the garage that you don't have?
Yeah, I don't have their food source. Good question, Denny. Eliminate that. Make sure that there's no source of food for the mice, and that helps to keep them out of there. Although we've learned on cars, Denny, that the mice will eat the wiring and they'll eat the rubber and they'll eat a lot of things. So just getting rid of the bird seed and dog food may not necessarily take care of it, but do the best that you can to be sure that the garage is clean, and that will help with eliminating, it'll make the mice less comfortable being there.
There you go. And Thanksgiving coming along, and I wish you and your family and all those good folks at Lloyd's Automotive a happy Thanksgiving and a safe one, Dan. But maybe a quick, less than a minute reminder of what we can do if we're going to hit the road. What should we check at least initially before we get in that car for the Thanksgiving meal?
Well, the best thing would be to take it to your shop, and they'll be glad to do this for you. Tell them that you're taking a trip, and they'll check your fluids, they'll check your oil, make sure that your window solvent is topped up. They'll check your tires to be sure that they're up to air and that there's enough tread on them. But if you're taking a long trip, I think it's a good idea to actually bring your car in and get things checked out. If you don't have time for that, for sure, check all the fluids, be sure they're full, and check the tires, be sure they're full.
Absolutely. Good advice. Dan, happy Thanksgiving again, and can we talk next week?
Thank you, Denny, and yes, we sure can talk next week.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be having more car care next Saturday morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead, followed by the 8 o'clock hour, which is Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.